Opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Walt Coleman, the referee, is standing next to the quarterback. He said, "Whoa, you're not Brian Hoyer." Yeah, Hoyer went out of the game. He's being evaluated for a concussion, we hear. So here is TJ Yates, his second stint with the team. We go back to 2011, where he has stepped in for Matt Schaub and start five games. Second and 10. Yates. Hopkins, he went up and caught it for the touchdown. What a play by DeAndre Hopkins on Adam Jones. And the Texans take the lead with TJ Yates at the helm. Without Dalton, caught, Green, then the ball comes out. Where is it? Is it a catch and a fumble? Oh, we're going to have a look at this one. Ruling on the field is Texans ball. Incredible victory for the Houston Texans as they come to Cincinnati.
Really, good job, man.
And beat Marvin Lewis and the Bengals.
Our goal was to come out here and make the Red Rifle look like a Red Ryder BB gun. And I think we did that.
Wow.
Tonight. I think he's a great player. There's a great team. But tonight our coaches put together a great game plan. We executed the game plan. Everybody did their job. It wasn't pretty. I mean, it's 10-6. It's not the prettiest game in the world.
I think JJ's a good player. But for him to be one of the best in this league and to show that integrity and to show that kind of type of, you know, it shows what he's about, which is disappointing.
So the Texans do the unexpected. What does it all mean? We shall discuss. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Pub Fiction in Midtown. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li is not here today, which is why you probably noticed a little bit of hesitation there at the beginning. But Tyler handling things like a pro, so everything should be good. Aaron out here with us at the third floor, which is right above Pub Fiction. So if you're looking for a cool place in Midtown to come hang out for the next couple hours, this will be your place. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Zhong Li Football. That won't work today.
No.
What is Tyler? Him. Tyler, what is yours? Tell him your
Producer T. Scott.
Producer T. Scott. That's kind of lame, but okay, we'll take it.
Yeah.
So, producer T. Scott, we also will not have the Degenerates 975 account today. But, and of course, you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And I'm sure you guys are going to want to get in today. So, fire away. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that, man. How are you?
I'm good.
You ready to rock this bad boy?
I am. There's a nice little beer selection over there.
They do have a nice little tap list over there.
So, I might be doing that at some point, but we shall see. I love it. We already had last night people just going nuts on Twitter as usual. My favorite is this knucklehead on Facebook who, you know, just tweets all caps, "Suck it, AJ and Fred," I guess right after the game. So my response is like, didn't we both bet on them to cover 10.5? You go find something to suck, young man.
Let me get that plus 11, bro.
let me go check out my account and see how much more money's in there. So, I think you're the one that needs to find something to suck. Well, we'll start with that, obviously. I mean, we'll get to the Dalton Watt thing because I think that was just ordinarily, I think JJ's over the top, but
that was
a crybaby little redhead thing.
It's on both of them. It's so embarrassing for white people that's the beef that we have. JJ Watt and Andy. JJ Watt with the lamest dad joke ever. JJ Watt, can we agree, as badass as he is, you know, at playing football, he's kind of cheesy. Are we allowed to say that?
He is from Wisconsin.
Okay.
What'd you expect?
The dude's a little cheesy.
He's a lot cheesy.
He's corny, and that was a corny-ass joke. But Andy Dalton, are you kidding me? You're like, that really bothers you? I'd be like, if I'm Andy Dalton and someone tells me that, I just say, well, good for JJ. That's the corniest joke I've ever heard. I'm glad they won, and maybe if Andrew Luck stays dead, we'll see that team again in the playoffs. But I mean, for him to be like, oh, I'm really disappointed. I mean, if anything, say you're disappointed in, like, the joke delivery.
The fact that it wasn't funny.
Yeah, you know JJ practiced that sorry-ass joke all week long. Like, he was asking his friends, hey, if we win post-game, I'm going to say something about Red Ryder BB gun. And somebody there was like, yeah, man, that's good. That's good. But Andy Dalton, to act the way he did, pathetic. I mean, who cares, dude? You're the quarterback of a team that's going to run away with your division. You've got bigger things to worry about than what J.J. Watt thinks of you. And just very petty. I thought the whole thing was really stupid. And that's white people beef right there.
Yeah, and his comeback was just as weak. That's the thing. At least, you know, if you're going to fire at each other, make it, you know, go after each other, you know? I mean, that was pathetic.
Somewhat memorable. I mean, that's just bad.
It was J.J. being a little over the top, trying to be funny. But he also said in context how great he thought he was and everything else. And, you know, if that bothers you, then that's probably why you choke so much in the playoffs, if you let stuff like that bother you. Oh, well.
Well, listen, a good win for the Texans last night. It was
that's a great win. I mean, they went on the road and beat a team that's better than them. They played their best defensive game of the year, and that was the defense that we thought they were going to have and that they were going to have if they were going to be anything this year. I won't say it's the first time it showed up because they did it against the Titans.
Yeah.
But last night was an outstanding performance, especially in the second half. And, you know, now there's some offensive issues that we'll get to, but I don't want to throw water on it just yet. But I would just say that's one of the best defensive performances I've seen all year. And yesterday on the show, we talked about, okay, under what scenario can they win? And I think basically I said plus two in turnovers, which even though they were only plus one, I'm not going to count the Hail Mary in the end zone because I don't think he caught it for one thing.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter. That's a last play at halftime. Plus two in turnovers, get pressure on the quarterback, and don't turn, you know, just don't, you know, protect the football.
I foolishly said they would have to run the ball. And apparently,
well, they did run the ball. They ran the ball 25 times, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't run it very well.
I meant more run the ball effectively.
Okay, because you left out that effectively, because they did do what you said.
But that's what I meant, was run the ball effectively, and neither team ran the ball effectively last night. But if you told me that, you know, the Texans were only going to have 82 rushing yards, but then you said, yeah, but the Bengals will only have 73, I would have said, okay.
So they outrushed them.
It was just it was really on both sides just a bad offensive day. There's not really anybody you can point at and say, you know what, this guy played really well on offense, because nobody did. DeAndre Hopkins had a highlight reel catch, and
he had a hard time getting open most of the game.
And that was essentially the extent of the offense. I mean, they had a couple good kicking performances we saw last night. So.
Yeah,
I mean, there's not much to say offensively, but defensively they did a really good job. You know, they got after Andy Dalton a little bit, made him make throws under pressure, and he did not respond well. For the most part, they kept anything that was going to AJ Green, they kept it short, which is what you got to do. You can't let AJ Green blow the top off of you. And they also caught a break on the fact that we talked about trying to cover Tyler Eifert, cover the tight ends. And Tyler Eifert, fortunately, wanted to help the Texans out as much as humanly possible last night.
Boy,
and just refused to catch anything that was thrown to his hands.
And I had him in FanDuel, too. That was just great.
I mean, that guy could have had a monster day and instead has just an embarrassed – like, they interview him in the locker room, and he's embarrassed about how his day went, and rightfully so. Just too many drops, and you can't have that, man. You can't. Especially in big situations, big key moments where they could have gone down and gotten first downs, and you're dropping money. And, you know, that's the one guy the Texans had a problem containing. And like I said, he kind of contained himself.
Yeah, and, Dalton got rattled a little bit. We saw that, and that's something that, you know, has happened to him in the playoffs. It hasn't happened to him too much in the regular season, but they definitely got in his head a little bit, and he started missing some passes in that second half. There was never any danger that they were going to move the football. The Texans were just completely shutting them down. And I thought there were a couple of things that were impressive. First off was the way they used Charles James. He was all over the field and almost sort of playing safety, sort of playing linebacker, sort of playing nickel. I mean, they put him everywhere. And the guy makes tackles. And it just makes you wonder what the hell they were thinking at the beginning of the season. And And Whitney Mercilus, I think, is right now a better player than Jadeveon Clowney could even think about being. And you might be in a situation where you have to leave him in that place. And I mean, he's playing very good football right now. And, I mean, just overall, I just thought their defensive scheme was terrific. And that was, you know, they really did take away the running game early, and they didn't overreact when the Bengals came out with those weird formations in the first couple drives. They just sort of adjusted to them, and they took away those quick sideline passes that worked early for the Bengals. And then the Bengals didn't have an answer after that. And
yeah, their game plan seemed fairly limited.
Yeah.
And when things didn't go exactly as they expected, it was pretty...
Yeah, they're like, oh, wait a minute, these aren't the Texans that played the Dolphins.
Whoa, man, these guys are showing up and actually playing against us? This is very strange.
Yeah, where are those guys? We wanted to play them.
Yeah.
But, no, so I think from a defensive perspective, it's one of the better efforts that we've seen out of this team, really, even over the last couple of years. I mean, they had some good games last year, but that last night to shut that team down, that's a really good win, and that's a game you weren't supposed to win. So get you back even with the Colts, who also won a game they weren't supposed to win against the Broncos, so... You're still in it.
Yep.
And it to me, the one thing it does do that would give hope to Texans fan is it makes some of these games coming up a little less daunting to me, especially if the Jets are going to throw Geno Smith out there. And they're not playing that well. If you can play defense close to that, I mean, obviously you're not going to play that well every game. That's just impossible. Right. But if you can play close to that, then – suddenly that game doesn't scare me as much.
Yeah,
maybe going to Buffalo doesn't
Jets
scare
games,
me as much.
Saints games, those are winnable games now. Yeah. And really the only game that look. I mean, I don't know if at Buffalo is a game that I'm ready to change my mind on. Because, listen, it's not like the Texans played great last night. I mean, they played a much better team and held them in check. I don't know that necessarily means that's what they are now. You know,
That's two very good, strong defensive performances in a row. They've obviously made some adjustments on the bye week. Now we'll have to see how teams adjust back to that. But this is the model that we talked about all year that they're supposed to have: play really strong defense, get after the quarterback, force turnovers, don't screw up on offense.
Yeah.
And if they can do that in Cincinnati, I don't see why they can't do it in Buffalo. The question is, will they? Because we've also seen when this team doesn't show up, how quickly things go bad. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think at least now you have some hope that, well, okay, they can do this. And you know, if they can come out and play that way. Now, their offense is still just an absolute mess. I mean, I thought the offensive line was better at times last night, which isn't saying much because that's a pretty good defensive front they were going against. But, man, the play calling is just so bad. Was there anybody who was watching that game, anybody who was there in person, anybody who was watching on TV, that when they rushed to the line down the 1 yard line, did not know exactly what they were going to run? Because
no,
that's what
knows.
They do every time. They're going to go to that left side with a running play. The Bengals knew it. Obviously, the whole world knew it. And you wind up losing 4 yards.
Yep.
And that kind of stuff has just got to stop, man. Some of the things they do on offense are so predictable. And I know we watch them every week, but so do the other teams. And if they see you doing the same thing over and over, guess what? They're going to be ready for it. And that's something that if they're going to do anything moving forward, that's got to get fixed. And as much as everybody was happy about T.J. Yates last night, they need Hoyer healthy if they're going to win some of these games. I mean, he did a nice job throwing the ball up for grabs and letting DeAndre Hopkins go and get it for a touchdown.
But if Hopkins doesn't catch that ball, which no one would have faulted him if he hadn't, then
it's a field goal and you're still playing probably right now.
All right,
713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. Right now I got to tell you about my good friends at Tubelo's. We were there last night, and just a great, great scene with everybody there watching the game. And I'll tell you what, man, if you haven't been out there, it's really the kind of place you can just go and hang out and feel like you're at home. And Chip and his gang have created a fantastic atmosphere. And the food is fantastic. They got all the TVs, all the sports you want to watch. So if you want to go out there and you want to watch the Rockets, you can do that. You want to watch the Texans next week, you can do that. They've got you covered. College football, all day long, man. Sit there and watch a game. Same thing on Sunday with the NFL. Monday night football, everything, whatever it is, they've got it. And you can go get that great food, great beer, and sit back and relax and enjoy yourself and feel like you are at your home away from home. That's Tubelo's is 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. And if you want to give them a call, 281-292-3600, that's Tubelo's Sports Bar and Grill. Tubelos.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Pub Fiction in Midtown. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at the third floor bar, which is right above Pub Fiction, Midtown. So come on out, hang out with us. We got giveaways and all kinds of cool stuff going on. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. And the other thing I did want to mention was that notice Xavier Suofilo played the whole game.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, they're kind of out of options.
Yeah, but I watched him pretty closely, and there were a couple times early in the game where he got blown up like he always does, but I thought as the game went on, he actually played better and looked like he belonged out there at times. So that's one positive you can take off of offense.
Well.
There's not much because and I thought that when he was in there, Alfred Blue ran hard. There just wasn't anywhere to run, and they still struggle in run blocking big time. But
they also, I mean, listen, let's be realistic about what these running backs are. None of those guys are good. They've got a bunch of guys that are second, third string type running backs, and running behind a banged up offensive line. Like, to hope that on the days that they do get a really good day out of their running backs, it's going to be a surprise. They cannot count on that.
Well, I mean, they have basically what almost every team has these days, which is no running backs unless you've got Todd Gurley or Adrian Peterson, and they've had Arian Foster for a long time.
I don't think that's true. I can't think of a team. I can't think of another team in the league that has worse running backs than the Texans.
Titans?
No.
Titans have worse running backs
no,
than the Texans.
No, they do not,
yeah,
Fred.
They do.
No,
yeah,
they don't.
Do.
Fred, at the beginning of the year, you thought Alfred Blue was better than Chris Ivory. You know how dumb that is now?
You know what? You put him on the Jets, he'd do the
same
thing.
No, he is not
Chris Ivory
good.
On this team wouldn't do anything either. They can't block.
If that's what it is, okay. Alfred Blue's not a good player. He's a backup running back he really should be a third-string running back. He's just a guy.
But you know what?
And that's what they have is a bunch of guys.
Even when Arian Foster was back and healthy, he was averaging 2.9 a carry. Nobody's going to run behind that line the
when
way they're
When was Arian
blocking.
Foster healthy? When's he ever been healthy?
Well, when he wasn't healthy, he was still run. He used to average 4.7.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of it is their schemes, and I think a lot of it is their blocking. And I think they've got guys that you can run out there.
Well, they've
there.
Got three guys who have never done anything of note in the league.
No, but you could say that about a lot of teams' running backs. And the truth is, I don't think it matters right now who they throw back there. They're not going to be able to run the football because they can't block. And I think it's scheme, and I think it's talent on the offensive line. And I do think that those guys are capable of having a good game here and there, but they got to have some blocking. And at no point last night was there much room for them to run, as it's been all season. And so much of it is they're so damn predictable with the play calls. I mean, they run on specific downs. They run the exact same thing every time. And teams have obviously caught on to that. And they don't do anything to try to adjust that. They run to the same spots all the time. They never mix it up. And you add all that up, you have no running game. And that's something you got to fix. And the only way they're going to have one is if they're playing against a team with a crap defensive line that they can push around.
Well, I don't know when that's going to happen. I mean, I guess maybe we'll see if they can run against the Saints.
Well, they should be able to pass against the Saints because everybody does.
But, I mean, since Arian Foster went down against the Dolphins, I mean, they have gotten nothing from these backs.
No, but they got nothing from him either. That's my point. Even when he was there, his numbers were as bad as everybody else's. I mean, it was pretty consistent. That ought to tell you something. That should tell you more. The problem is what plays you're running and what your offensive line is doing.
God, I'm trying to look back to the last time that this team had any success running the ball.
There was one game this year where Blue had over 100 yards.
Okay. I mean, it's maybe it was the Bucs game. Yeah, it was the Bucs game. 31 carries, 139 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it took 31 carries. But I guess, hey, if you can keep banging it, and they won. But, I mean, you're talking for them to reach 100 yards as a team at this point is like a stretch.
Well, now,
it's pretty amazing.
A lot of games they were so far out of it, all they did was pass.
Right.
That was part of it too. But
Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Cincinnati, I mean, these are games that, they could have been running the ball. They just couldn't run it.
Yeah,
and
well,
a lot of it was Foster. A lot of it was these other guys.
Well, they did try to run it. They did run it 25 times. It just wasn't very effective. And that's something that at this stage of the season, I don't know how you fix that.
Well, but, I mean, it has to be fixed because
not going to hold everybody to 6 points.
You know, I mean, that's
– no.
It's great when that's what you do. If you hold another team to 6 points, you can probably get away with not running the ball at all. But most weeks, that's not going to be the case. And I think you and I have agreed that this – and granted, the defense the last 2 weeks has looked like they're starting to come around. I don't think there's anything that they can do to live up to what preseason expectations were at this point. I mean, there's no way to dig out of the – once you've gotten yourselves into 40-point holes multiple times in a year, it's hard to ever, like, gain that full credibility back. But, I mean, the defense has to play this well, and they're going to have to find a way to put up more points.
Yeah, and I think against some teams that'll be easier. I mean, that is a pretty good defense they were up against in Cincinnati, but – realistically, like when they play the Saints, they'll put up points. I'm not too concerned about that. But
although they're going to have a new defensive coordinator, then who
knows? Yeah, and just in time for them to adjust and play better. That's the one thing I'm so sad to see Ryan go, because there goes my overs on the Saints every week. But against the Jets, for instance, you're going to have to be better than that. I mean, they play good defense. You're going to have to find a way. And I think it comes down to scheme and play calling and trying to find some ways to maximize what they can do with that offensive line, because clearly it's not good enough as it is in run blocking. To me, you have to find something, you know, in your scheme. And
right.
Run some different plays, and they just don't do it. And it's a very unimaginative offense. And it worked last night. It reminded me of that game a couple years ago where they went into Chicago and beat the Bears in the slop, where the defense played really well and offensively they were just dreadful. And but you know what? You can win games like that, but you're not going to win a whole heck of a lot more games like that, because your defense can't play that well every single week.
The Texans have moved up to number 22 in the ESPN.com power rankings.
Wow.
Ahead of the Bucs.
I mean, they should be ahead of the Bucs.
I mean, they got the same record.
They beat them.
Yeah. Ahead of the Saints.
Okay.
Ahead of the Titans.
You should be ahead of the Titans.
The Jags, the Cowboys, the Chargers, the Ravens, the Lions, the Niners, and the Browns.
They should be ahead of all those teams.
Yeah.
Who's right ahead of them?
The Rams, the Redskins, the Eagles are the three teams ahead of them, and the Dolphins. So
yeah, Dolphins should be ahead of them. I think those three should be ahead of them. That's about right.
It's a good spot for them.
I hate seeing the Redskins at 20. It just seems too high, but...
I mean, yeah, they're 4-5, just like the Texans. The one team below the Texans that if you put them on the field, I'd really be concerned is the Chargers. I think as crappy as the Chargers are.
I don't think they're the team you thought they were, though.
I don't either.
I mean, I know Phillip Rivers would throw for 400 yards, and
right.
They would still lose, because that's what they do all year.
The Chargers, the two wins that they have came against the Lions and the Browns.
Yeah.
They're just not that good. But even the Ravens, who, you know, normally I like, that's not a good team. They just don't have anybody to work with.
There's no offense there at all. And, I mean, he has no receivers to throw to. They can't run. And their defense isn't what it used to be. It's not even close.
But I think 22 is pretty accurate. I don't know if I'd put any of the teams ahead of them, below them. And I don't know if I'd put any of the teams below them ahead of them. So that's 22.
Seems right.
Seems right.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, a few weeks into this season, if you told me they were going to be 22nd, I'd say, you know what, that's not bad. Because there was a time when it looked like they were going to be in that 28-30 range.
Well, after that Falcons game, I thought they were going to be 32. And you know, after the Dolphins game, they probably should have been 32. But they've made some changes, obviously, on the defensive side of the ball to fix some of the problems, and they're starting to play. And they rotated their defensive line a lot more last night as well. They weren't just leaving Vince Wilfork out there for every single play. And I think all that helped. And guys are tackling better, and they're playing better football. They can keep that up. They'll be competitive in these games. But, you know, I still have to be skeptical, because we've seen what happens when they're, you know, when they're not right. And I still can't get the stench of that Dolphins game out of my nostrils. And until they reel off three or four in a row,
right,
it's not going anywhere.
I'll tell you what's crazy is there are only 11 teams in football with a winning record.
Well, we've talked about this. I just think it's the league's not very good this year.
And I think
part of it's the injured quarterbacks.
And here's the other – I mean, not just – you know, obviously the Patriots and the Panthers and those teams have sort of separated themselves.
Well, the Bengals have separated themselves.
The Bengals, too, and I think the Cardinals, you know.
Yeah.
Removing those four teams, are you sure that anybody else is really good? I mean, the Vikings have a good record. They're 7-2. Are you sure that they're a good team, like a championship-contending team? Hell, are you sure the Panthers are?
No, I'm not. And really,
are you sure the Bengals are?
I think when I look at all these teams, I think this could be one of those years where, like when the Giants were 9-7 and made it to the Super Bowl, the Packers were 9-7 and made it to the Super Bowl, because if somebody's going to just need to get hot in the playoffs,
yeah.
Because none of these teams scare me. And that's why I'm not ready to throw the Seahawks out yet, because I could see them doing that. If the Steelers could get healthy on offense and get better on defense, I could see them being that kind of team. Because really, other than the Patriots, I don't feel good about any of those teams, maybe the Cardinals, being able to get through the playoffs. And I think you're going to see at least one of the teams be like 9-7.
Yeah, because there's big flaws in pretty much every team, you know, being outside of the Patriots. And I think the Cardinals, too. I think those are the two best teams. If you had me pick a Super Bowl today, that's the only two I could confidently say these are Super Bowl contending teams. But I mean, it's hard to find. It's going to be hard to find 12 deserving playoff teams.
It is. But
and there's people who want to expand the playoffs to 14 teams.
Well, some years it makes sense to do that, but this isn't one of them. And I think
it's a bad time to be bringing up that argument.
Yeah, I still think it. You know, to me, one more wild card game wouldn't suck, and I wouldn't mind seeing it. But this is one of those years where, you know, it's not going to be that. Oh well, the 7-9 Colts got in, and the 7-9 Texans got in, and this 11-win team didn't. That's not going to happen. It's
right.
Going to be a 7-win team getting in over an 8-win team.
Yeah,
and it's hard to make a case for that. But we'll see. I just think it's been a very weird year in terms of quality of play. All right, we'll get to your phone calls next segment at 713-780. ESPN, 713-780-3776. But first, tell people about Gary Trichter.
I tell you guys all the time about Gary Trichter. And listen, you know that you're within your legal rights to go out and have a drink, and you're within your legal rights to drive afterwards. That's part of the game. I mean, but if the police pull you over and they ask you if you've been drinking, you might be honest. Say, yeah, I had a beer with dinner. That's enough for them to haul you in. I mean, they've got these tests that are designed for you to fail. They're looking for a reason to take you in. And if they do, you want a guy who can defend your rights. And that's attorney Gary Trichter. Remember those breath tests? They're inaccurate. They're unreliable. Most states have abandoned the machine because it's just old technology. Same with the blood test. It's inaccurate. They're not even testing your blood. They're testing the air above it. It's a very indirect and circumstantial test for alcohol. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist. He's right here in Houston, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. And what that means is he's got experience in telling the truth about these tests and the science behind them to juries. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Found a statue of a girl.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Pub Fiction in Midtown. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Yes, we're at Pub Fiction. Technically, we're at third floor upstairs, which is very cool. Nice beer menu.
Yeah, very good tap list. They got 50 taps here.
Yeah?
Yep.
I'm going to go check that out on the next break. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776 is your number. Be happy to take some phone calls. Let's try a couple. And we will go to Mike, who wishes to weigh in on last night's game. What's going on, Mike? Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing sports, man.
Well, first of all, I have a few comments from the game last night. That was a good win by the Texans. I mean, good overall win. Like I said, it wasn't pretty, but good overall win. But people, let's pump the brakes. The Bengals, I believe, basically gave them that game last night. They were dropping balls. I mean, it wasn't a really pretty game. It's not like the Texans came out looking all world. So, I mean, people need to pump the brakes. And this may not be a popular, I guess, comment, but I don't care. J.J. Watt needs to shut up. Okay. He's talking last night as if they were the 9-0 team. Let's stop. Okay. You're still under 500, bro. Calm down. Okay. I mean, he's after the game acting like they just blew out, you know, the Bengals 45-0. Calm down, bro. I mean, calm down. I mean, I understand he's, you know, so beloved here. Yeah, I get it. Calm down, bro. Hey. So, like
all
I
right,
said,
all right, let me jump in here. Two things. Well, first off, I kind of agree. They did act like they, you know, they were doing something special. And I guess when you've been thumped around as badly as they have this year, maybe that's how you respond. But yeah. I tend to agree. I thought he was a little over the top. But that's, you know, I don't know that that's that controversial. I mean, Pac-Man Jones got ticked off at it. He was, you know, he was saying the same thing you were. Not you, but the caller. But as far as the Bengals giving him that game, no, the Bengals didn't play well, but Texans had a lot to do with that. I think you got to give them credit for this one. I don't think you can just say, well, they dropped passes. Well, so do the Texans. I mean, Texans don't have a tight end on a damn roster that can catch a pass. And they bring Griffin back, and what happens the very first play? They throw to him, drops the ball. Nate Washington drops some balls. I mean, the Texans did some of that too. In the end, it was one of those games that came down to, you know, who got in the end zone. And the Texans did. They didn't. So I'm going to give them credit for the win. It doesn't mean that
I'll give them credit for the win, too. But I'll also, you know, I think there's questions about the Bengals, too. You know how many teams the Bengals now 8-1. Of those eight wins, you know how many were against teams with a record over 500? Two.
Yeah.
Their best two wins, Buffalo and Pittsburgh.
Doesn't that go back to what you're saying about how many teams don't have winning records?
Because
Seattle's a win, and you would think that's a quality win.
Yeah.
But that's not a winning record. So I think you kind of have to take that a little bit in context. But, you know, the point is they had beaten everybody on their schedule until last night. They'd, you know, beaten down some pretty decent teams.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's why I think as much as I would bang on the Texans for those pathetic efforts against the Dolphins and the Falcons and games like that, I got to give them credit for going in and winning that game. It's not a game I expected them to win. And I thought they had to play near perfectly on defense to win the football game, and they did. And so they deserve some credit for that.
It's just difficult to be in a situation, and the situation that we're in, where we have to talk about what the Texans – I mean, obviously after a win like that, we're going to talk about the game, but then talking about where the Texans stand in the grand scheme. And it's difficult to do this year, more so than other years, because the Texans aren't a good team. And we know that, but how many good teams are there is what it
well,
boils
and,
down
well,
that's
to. Well, the Colts aren't a good team either, and that's
right.
Who they're competing with. I still think the Colts are better than they are.
And but. I guess, I mean, listen, whether it's the Colts or the Texans who make the playoffs, I don't think it really matters. I don't think, I mean, because eventually one of those two teams is going to run into the Patriots or whoever, and it's going to end poorly. But the fact is, one of those teams is going to make the playoffs. One team from the AFC South is guaranteed a playoff spot, and it's difficult to discuss the Texans in, you know, in one light, saying, well, we know this team's not any good, but then at the same time discuss them, but how good are they relative to the rest of the division?
Right.
And
that's the thing. And I would just say that win to me was for them. That was a quality win. That was a win they weren't supposed to get. When we talk about games that you're not supposed to win, you weren't supposed to go on the road and beat an unbeaten Bengals team.
But I think you mentioned it earlier. The Colts beat the Broncos this
right.
week.
Which is another last week.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Does anybody suddenly, now that the Colts beat the Broncos, think the Colts are a good team? I don't.
Well, and then Andrew Luck got hurt in that game too. So that
worse.
Yeah, but you could think. See, the thing with the Colts, you could see them turning it around on offense and getting better. I mean, not that they were doing it, but, I mean, the possibility existed that, you know what,
right.
Sooner or later Andrew Luck's going to play better, and this team's going to be better. And so you could see that. With the Texans, the only thing I could really look at is say, well, this defense should get better as the season goes on if it does what it did last year, but they were so awful. I mean, they were so just brutally awful in a couple of games. It was like, well, how much better can they get? Well, the last 2 weeks they've been really good, and that's the hard part now is judging, can they do that every week?
Right.
And I don't know that they can. I mean, I just think that's a lot to ask. But you know, if they can, then, yeah, they have a chance to be one of those not good teams that's in the hunt. And, I mean, there's going to be a lot of those this year. Right?
The Giants are in the spot. They're in a position to make the playoffs. They're not a
I think the Giants, though, so that's a team I look at and say, that's not a bad football team.
No, they're not bad.
That's actually a team that's got some talent that just finds ways to lose games.
Falcons would make the playoffs if they started today. You think? Are you sure they're a good team?
No, I think you're starting to see them exposed a little bit, like you're seeing the Broncos exposed. But we see this every year. There'll be a team, and maybe it is the Giants, that we're not talking that much about, that runs off five or six wins in a row and starts playing really well. And you say, maybe the Packers. But one of those teams will do that.
Pittsburgh, Buffalo, these are teams that if the playoffs started today, they'd be playoff teams. And I don't know that they're any good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just it's strange because normally, you know, when you think of playoff battles, you think of, you know, you in an ideal world, there'd be 9-7 teams who are, you know, they're going to have to go to a tiebreaker to see who makes the playoffs. We're not going to have that this year. If you're 9-7,
you're probably in.
You're in.
Yeah.
I mean, and the one spot where that may not be the case, I guess, is if a 9-7 team like the Falcons or the Packers, I guess, you know, I could see maybe then. But even then, I think if you're 9 wins in the NFC, you're a wild card.
I just don't think there's going to be enough teams that are sitting at 9-7 for you to miss out.
I mean, if you look at the teams where they stand now, how many teams legitimately have a chance to win 9 games? I mean, there's very few.
Yeah, well,
there's very few.
If we go through it, we could probably find the one. But I think in the – obviously, I guess the Bills or the Jets could win 9. I don't think they both will.
No.
You know, the
Steelers could win 9.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the AFC.
Yeah.
And then the Packers could win 9. The Falcons could win 9. Nobody else in the NFC. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess maybe you could, if you wanted to, hold out some kind of hope for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I still think – I think if you're 500 now – But, and you're a team that can turn it on.
But I've started seeing enough of the Seahawks where I don't know if they're good enough to – I mean, even if they turn it up, I don't know if they're good enough to win 9 games because I just don't think that defensively they're not the same team and Russell Wilson isn't the same guy.
But I guarantee you, though, every year there's some team that we're not talking about right now, and maybe it's them, maybe it's the Giants, and they're going to win. They're going to run off 5 or 6 wins in a row.
It's the Bears, Fred. They're coming.
You know – I can't
the Bears are coming, bro.
I can't just dismiss that.
If the Bears beat the Broncos this week, the rumble will be loud.
Well, I think they have a chance. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We come back, we'll have a little announcement for you. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Pub Fiction in Midtown. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back. This year's Blitz shirt commemorates the pepper spray incident and is on sale right now. Available in black or navy and in sizes for all types. You can find it at the UT Co-op store in Uptown Park. Or for stress-free shopping, log on to universitycoop.com, get yours now, and get your Blitz on. And we're out here actually at the third floor, which is right above Pub Fiction. So if you're heading out this way, if you're in Midtown, come on up, say hello. They got a nice beer selection here, as I have just found out. So a couple things before we move on that I kind of wanted to get to. The I guess we're not going to have the college rankings today because there's basketball on, so they're not doing the show until later.
What?
So, yeah, somehow basketball.
Oh, because it's the marathon. Yeah, yeah, I forgot about that.
But we do have some.
By the way, 1-0 today. Colorado got me there over Auburn. Bad start, but got me there. So
nice.
I'm above 500 now, 6-5 on the year.
All right, you got this.
Yeah.
We're out here because the Rotary Lombardi Award is announcing its four finalists. Would you like to hear who they are?
I would love to hear who they are. Drum roll, please.
Well, one of them is a young man who plays for Ohio State.
I can guess who it is, and I'll start by – okay, let me – or go ahead and say, is it going to be – it's Joey Bosa, right?
It is Joey Bosa.
Okay, Joey Bosa is probably going to be the first pick in the draft, or at least close to the top. Joey Bosa is not having nearly the season this year that he did last year. I think he's got like maybe a third of the sacks that he did last year. He was just a wrecking machine last year.
And he missed a couple games early. But
yeah, I think that's a reputation play. Is what I'm gonna call that a reputation play.
All right,
but okay, that's fine.
That's Joey Bosa, number one on the list. Second on the list is a young man from Texas A&M,
Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett has made the list.
Okay, very good. He's had a good season, I think. I think he's in double digit sacks.
He's one of those guys that's very impressive to watch. I don't know how much. You know, their defense is still bad.
Yeah,
it's a lot like when Von Miller was there. Von Miller would make a bunch of plays, and he was a great player, but they still were a bad defense. And we've seen J.J. Watt do that with the Texans. But Myles Garrett, number two on the list. Number three, from Clemson.
Shaq Lawson. Well, that's a really good player. He's having a really good season. The team's having a good season. Hard to argue with him being a finalist.
And the fourth finalist is from Penn State.
Carl Nassib.
And
Carl Nassib is probably having the best season of anybody on that list. That's a guy he's got a ton of sacks this year, and he did not have a great season last year. So that's a guy who's earned his way onto the list with this year's performance.
Yeah.
I always wonder how these awards are given out, like what the criteria is. But based on just the season, I'd probably have to give it to him, even though, you know, Penn State is not a great team or anything like that. He's had a very good year individually.
But there's still a few games left for these guys to sort themselves out. But those are your final four.
And don't get me wrong, Joey Bosa is the best player on that list. He's just not having.
Has he been the best player? College football player this year?
Yeah, he's not been the best one this year, is my opinion.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think I would say Nassib has probably been the most impressive. And
Carl Nassib, 15 and a half sacks, 19 and a half tackles for loss.
That's above average.
He had one sack last year, and he has an interception. That's pretty good. And six forced fumbles this year.
Golly,
Give that guy the trophy.
Well, the Rotary Club of Houston runs the Lombardi Award, and so it's right here in our city and named after, of course, Vince Lombardi. And those are your four finalists.
All right.
So Joey Bosa, Myles Garrett.
Who gets the vote?
Shaq Lawson, Carl Nassib. You know what?
They're not going to offer me a vote, are they?
I used to be able to vote.
Oh, really? You're out now?
Yeah.
I wonder why can newspaper guys vote and radio guys can't?
I probably have been asked to vote in a few things that I've just turned down because it's too much work.
Yeah, I feel like I should get a vote in something important. I don't know what. Maybe the Heisman.
How about the presidential election?
No, okay. I don't care about that. There's no candidates that I think are deserving, so I don't want to vote in that.
Okay.
Maybe I'll talk to these Lombardi people, see what's what. Maybe that'll be the way to go.
Yeah, I'd like to be in on the Coach of the Year award.
The College Coach of the Year?
Any College Coach of the Year award.
Okay.
But, Lombardi, I'll take
that. Who are you going to give it to?
Tom Herman.
Oh, stop. Stop it, Fred. You would say that.
No, as of today, it'd probably be Dabo.
Has to be, right?
Yeah.
It's a guy who people like made fun of all these years, and he's come through and got his team playing better than anybody in the country. I think it's hard to argue. Although, listen, I we'll see how they end up, but Kirk Ferentz is in that conversation.
I think Mike Gundy's in that conversation if they run the table.
I think so, too.
So, I think that's going to be interesting because you're going to have a lot of deserving guys.
Yeah.
And it'll be real easy to just ignore the fact that Urban Meyer continues to win every single game.
Larry Fedora should also be mentioned at North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's a one-loss team. That team is very good, and no one thought anything of that team coming into the season. Are we still going to do our rankings today?
Yeah, we'll still do our rankings today.
Okay, good, because I worked on my rankings. I want to make sure we get them out there, and
yeah, I'm having a hard time with them because there's some teams that if I were taking, like, how I would feel about them Vegas-wise, there's no way they'd be ahead of some other teams.
No.
You have to go by what's on the field and how you think the –
how the committee will look at
him. And that's kind of what I do. And
I didn't do it how the committee will look at him. I did it how I look at him for the committee.
Yeah, because if I were on the committee, my list would be better than theirs.
Right.
I will say this in defense of UH. Whatever they are on that list, they'll be too low. I mean, they're going to be better than maybe three or four teams ahead of them. I think they should be around 15 or 16.
I have them at 15 on my list this week, and I have them ahead of Florida State, Stanford, and Utah, which – I don't know if they played them on the field, if they beat them, but I think that they deserve to be there for right now.
If they lined up and played Michigan, I mean, I'd still think
I put Michigan
would win six out of the 10 times at least.
I put Michigan at 13.
Maybe seven.
I put LSU has two losses. I put them at 14 right ahead of UH with no losses. So, I mean, it's difficult to – and I understand these guys have a tough job. But the reality is we're talking about who's 13, 14, 15.
Right, which isn't going to matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
But I do think
– all that matters is UH ahead of Navy, and right now they are.
And then, and it doesn't matter anyway because they'll get to play them.
Yeah.
And
if they lose, they won't be ahead of Navy.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about this game Saturday, frankly. I mean, just
the UConn
classic
game.
Classic trap
game. It's a tough spot. But if they are – if they're the best non-Power 5 team, this is a game that they shouldn't –
Yeah, they should win, but I haven't seen the number yet, but I'm guessing it's going to be close to 20. And
it could be ugly, but it's
I don't know whether Ward's going to play yet. I'm assuming he is because I don't think it was that serious. But I don't think that really matters with Tom Herman coaching, whoever he puts out a quarterback can play.
A.J. Martin, who says – whose logo is what appears to be a Texas A&M tattoo, says Myles Garrett hands down. Broke Clowney's sack record as a freshman, is on pace to break the SEC sack record as a sophomore. Well, he's not having the year Nassib's having, but he's having a great year.
He's a deserving finalist, and he's got a few games left to do something with that.
I'd put him – I got to pull up his numbers. I got to pull up Shaq Lawson's numbers. But just off the top of my head, Nassib would be my vote if I had to. If I had a vote, Fred, which I don't, and we'll discuss that with the people when they get here.
Yeah.
Nassib would be my guy.
All right. We are going to take a very quick
break. We'll go
to break
when we want.
Yeah. We will.
It just happens to be
now. Local Music Tuesday. All the bumper music you hear is local, so if you like what you hear, Tyler, part of your responsibility is to tweet out the names of the bands and the songs. So get on that, pal.
I'll do my best.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.